Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our second show of the work week. It's a Twizzler Tuesday. We're asking you your favorite Christmas movies. I just tweeted a few of mine. You can rank them if you must. I don't need you to rank them, but I know how we sports fans feel about our ranking systems. So I've just tweeted mine, A-Law Radio, and I'd love to hear from you. Also on our Facebook page, I guess I can post them on Facebook too, so you guys can see them. Sometimes I know it's easier for me just to do the quick tweet. I don't want you to feel as though I'm ignoring you on Facebook. And so I'll hop to it. I'll hop right to it. And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply. Understand fully. Mortgage confidently. We haven't yet put up our TD of the week poll, but we will. Some great ones to choose from. But while you're on social media, in fact, I'll ask producer Chris to retweet this. Did you all happen to see the picture of President Bush's dog, Sully, laying in front of his casket? Gosh, talk about tugging at my heartstrings. In fact, I teared up seeing it on Monday morning, and I tweeted it, and I know a lot of you responded and felt the same way that I did. I love my dog so much, and they are so loyal. Even when we may be stressed out or we're impatient, and I'll speak for me. I can get stressed out. I can get impatient. Sometimes it's easy for me to take it out on the dog, meaning we'll take a walk. She goes as slow as molasses because that's what she always does, and I get impatient with her. And then we get back to the house, and you know what she does? Follows me around the house and sits right next to me because she knows. She knows that I'm annoyed or she knows I'm having a bad day, and she has to make it better. So she literally gets up and follows me around the house wherever I go and lays down the same way that President Bush's dog is laying down in front of his casket. This picture was taken before his casket was delivered to the Capitol Rotunda. He is now lying in state and waiting for the Wednesday state funeral. And for now, people are paying their respects, going through and paying their respects at the Capitol. And so this was back home in Houston, and his pup, his service dog, who he had late in life. I'm not sure exactly how long they were together, but this is a dog that he has been using for the last few years to help him out. And just an incredible picture that Jim McGrath, who is a longtime friend and colleague, is a spokesman for President and Mrs. Bush after they left the White House, and he captured a bunch of pictures to remember 41. That's the hashtag, is remembering 41. And this picture with Sully just... yeah, it got me. It got me in my heart. And so I tweeted it, and maybe Chris will retweet it so that you can see it on our show Twitter. It's After Hours CBS. There's a video? Chris just said there's a video. I cannot watch it right now because I would not be able to get through the rest of the segment. So check out our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. If you're a big fan of dogs and you know how loyal they are, well, then this one is really sweet because Sully looks like he was devoted to our former president, the way that his family is. Kind of cool. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So send me your tweets about favorite Christmas movies and also your Facebook posts. And a lot of you are kind of jumping into the pool about this idea of NFL teams who are trending north, trending south, with a month to go. Now, there's a lot that could happen in the last month. It's not like we've got the finished puzzle. There's still a bunch of pieces that we either can't find. Do you ever drop your puzzle pieces on the floor? My grandma does that and then finds them months later, or someone else finds them when they're cleaning her apartment. So we don't have all the puzzle pieces yet. We don't exactly know how this is going to pan out, but here we are with a month to go, and there's a lot of different ways that this could look come a month from now. But the idea is to be playing your best football at this time of the year. The idea is, despite the injuries, because everybody's got them, mentally and physically, this is the time of the year when it starts to really tax you. It really requires you to push through. And, of course, your depth matters in these situations as well. But you've got teams that play in weaker divisions, right? So with more divisional games toward the end of the year, that can be a bonus. But you also have teams that are kind of balancing precariously, and they play in more difficult divisions, which means they've still got a tough month in front of them. So a lot of you are sending me your responses on social media about what your team's doing, which teams are trending up, which teams give you confidence right now. We put together a little montage of the teams that have used the last couple weeks to bolster their resumes.
Brady takes the snap, drops back under pressure, slides up, throws down the middle, catch by Gordon at the five, turns to the end zone! Touchdown, Patriots! And number 579 in the career of Tom Brady.
Matt Ryan hit and sacked on first down. Ball is loose. Ravens recover. Tavon Young takes it in. Touchdown, Ravens. And it's a photo op celebration for the Ravens in the end zone as the Ravens defense suffocates Matt Ryan.
Scramble. Now he's going to throw in the end zone. Touchdown, Seahawks. Jerron Brown, his second score of the day as Russell, just with enough protection to step up in the pocket, and then he rifles a shot for 18 yards to Brown.
Wentz in the gun, Clement to his right. On first down, Wentz back, he's looking, he fires, complete, touchdown, Jordan Matthews. Lone receiver to the far side, Wentz looks, fires, and it is complete. And in goes Golden Tate. It was thrown low,
yeah.
And Tate dug it out inches from the turf and then rolled into the end zone.
Golden Tate's first touchdown as a member of the Philadelphia Eagles, and Darren Sproles' return after a lengthy bout with injury could not come at a better time for the Super Bowl champs, who may be off life support now. They have a faint pulse. I wouldn't say it's strong, but they are back to 500 after back-to-back division wins, and they are definitely among those teams that are trending north. So first you heard the New England Patriots. I mean, it wasn't that long ago after they had lost to Tennessee that the Pats were looking at potentially hosting a first-round playoff game, not having wild card weekend off. Now, they're great at home in the postseason in the Tom Brady era, but man, those are coveted byes. To have that week off while everybody else does battle and goes toe-to-toe, and the Steelers were riding, what, a six-game win streak? Whereas the Patriots had lost to Tennessee and then hit their bye week with that bad taste in their mouth. But they've definitely gotten to the point where with Gronk back, Julian Edelman, with Sony Michel back, Josh Gordon in full flow, the defense is playing really well. Trey Flowers had a great game against the Vikings. Patriots are now at 9-3 after back-to-back wins. And Bob Soucy on the Patriots Radio Network. Seems like every week there's a milestone for Tom Brady. Also trending up, the Baltimore Ravens, now at 7-5 and just a smidge behind the Steelers in the AFC North. They've won three games in a row, and their defense has been fantastic. They've scored on both defense and special teams over this stretch, and their run game. All right, they lose Alex Collins to IR, but right now they're controlling the ball by keeping their defense off the field a little bit longer, giving their defense a blow by running the ball and controlling it. Not only are you keeping it away from your opponent, but you're allowing your defense to breathe. And so what we're seeing now in three consecutive games against teams with losing records, the Bengals, the Raiders, the Falcons, Baltimore has been able to establish a little bit of an identity. Whether or not you know who their stable of running backs is right now, certainly Lamar Jackson, as the rookie starter, has helped them with the ball control game. Gus Edwards, Kenneth Dixon. It's running back by committee, but it starts with the QB and the fact that they've made the change to the rookie, who's now 3-0. Jerry Sandusky on the Ravens Radio Network. How about the Seattle Seahawks? Man, they've been on life support a couple of times this year. They have dipped below 500 multiple times this year and have had to dig themselves out of a hole. But it's worked. And while they can't win the NFC West because the Rams have already locked up that division title, by virtue of the way they've played over the last several games, they've now put themselves in position for a wild card. So we'll see. I mean, there's a month left to go. But in the NFC, the Vikings, they've been riding a roller coaster as well. In the NFC, with a 7-5 mark, the Seahawks are in that number 5 spot. And then finally, the Eagles. As we mentioned, the Super Bowl champs, Merrill Reese, on their radio network, playing on Monday Night Football. And we talked about them now, just a game back of the Cowboys with Dallas looming in Week 14. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's take another call here, 855-212-4227. Lino is in Houston. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, good morning, Amy. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm calling, well, first of all, can I just mention my favorite Christmas movie, if you don't mind?
Of course.
It was Christmas Vacation from, what's one of, to me, I just think it was one of Chevy Chase, one of the best movies that he had made. I thought it was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
And now I would like to talk about my Texans. I think Houston has a legitimate shot of making the playoffs. I mean, if we win next week, we should make the playoffs against the Colts, if I'm not mistaken. I'm glad to see the team that they're full strength. I think the only person that's out of the lineup right now is Kute. But our team is looking good. Now,
do you think there's a chance that they miss the playoffs after winning nine in a row?
No, I'm sorry. I meant to say we're making the playoffs, but I meant the Super Bowl. I'm sorry.
Oh,
we have a legitimate chance to make the Super Bowl. That's what I meant to say.
Okay.
But in the beginning, I know that we have 3 losses. But like I told a lot of people, these games that we played and then we lost these games, we're like in it, you know? And mm-hmm. we might have lost by a field goal. We might have lost by 1 touchdown, especially like against Patriots. But now that our team is at full health, I think we have a shot of being the Patriots if we go up and toe-to-toe this year. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're a real contender because of their defense, number one. It's stout, it's physical, it's healthy, as you point out. And I think part of what happened at the beginning is that guys were trying to get back into the flow of things. They're trying to get back into game speed and game shape and everything else after extended periods away. And so, I think that the defense is fantastic. They have an incredible kicker. He's been a find. Kyeme Fairbairn has been a find. Deshaun Watson looks like he is back in that shape and that same rhythm and flow that he was before he got injured last year. I like the commitment to the run game. That's huge. I think Demaryius Thomas has added a nice option at receiver. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not sure they're missing anything, and their 9-game win streak proves it.
Yes, ma'am. And I love the addition of Demaryius Thomas and then Lamar Miller. Oh, wow. He's looking like the Miller that he when he was with Miami. He's awesome.
The offensive line is playing really well.
Yes, ma'am. And I'm just glad to see our team is back in, back on full strength. I think our team is playing with a lot of heart right now because after what happened to the owner, man, he rest in peace. And Now, besides that, the Houston Astros, we won the championship World Series a couple of years, 2017. Well, I think they got something to prove now. Maybe we need a Super Bowl in Houston, and I hope to get it this year. Thanks for calling, Amy.
All right, Lino, good to hear from you in Houston. Thanks so much for calling, 855-212-4227. CBS's Super Bowl season continues Week 14 Sunday with some exciting regional action. Of course, playoffs, wild card, jostling. That's all taking place as we enter the final month. We've got some AFC matchups when Baltimore battles Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs. So two teams that are in the playoff conversation. Then Andrew Luck leading Indy into Houston, as Lino mentioned. They'll take on the Texans, Philip Rivers, and the Chargers host the Cincinnati Bengals. That could be ugly. Check your local listings. Oh, but you should watch anyway. Check your local listings and kick off your day with the NFL today on CBS. All right, so we'll take more of your phone calls coming up. And I love all of your Christmas movie suggestions. And if it's a Christmas movie to you, that's fine. I told you Sound of Music we used to watch every year in the month of December, so it feels like a Christmas movie to me. I wouldn't have said Gremlins was a Christmas movie, but a handful of you are mentioning that. So we're talking NFL teams trending north, trending south, and we're talking about your favorite Christmas movies, because that's our Twizzler Tuesday question. Tuesday being 3 weeks to Christmas. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
The Grinch hated Christmas the whole Christmas season. Now, please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Do not remake The Grinch. Oh, wait, you already have. It's perfection, just as it is, how The Grinch stole Christmas. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I asked Andrew before the show, come up with some classic Christmas movie scenes, Christmas movie lines, and so far, so good. The Home Alone, you recognize instantly. Same thing with The Grinch. You're a mean one. No, nope, no singing. But this is what I want to do when I hear The Grinch and that evil, beady little voice. So what's your favorite Christmas movie? It's our Twizzler Tuesday question. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or, I mean, you're literally blowing up our Facebook page. It's like the whole idea of NFL teams trending north, trending south, that is fallen by the wayside on Facebook because you are all about the Christmas movies. there's some interesting movies. So I looked up a list, right? I wanted to see if there were any I'd forgotten. And there are some interesting movies included. If you Google top Christmas movies, there are some I never thought of. Like Batman Returns. How is that a Christmas movie? It's not just if it got released at Christmas time. That's not enough. Though Die Hard at least is an argument. Nobody said Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Why? How about a Charlie Brown Christmas? Jingle All the Way? Nope, that's a negative, Ghost Rider. The Muppet Christmas Caper? Anyone? The Santa Claus? Also, it came out, sometime in the last 15 years, but The Holiday, that was kind of a Christmas movie. I thought it was fun. So, minor, more classics, kind of attached to my childhood or my youth. And so, I'm going with the original Christmas Carol, since that's a family tradition. Home Alone for sure. Christmas Vacation, because it doesn't matter how many times I watch it, it still makes me laugh. Like laugh out loud in an ugly way. Do you guys have that laugh? I mean, you could do it right now, but it'd be fake. You know that laugh when you just completely lose it and you have no control over how the laugh sounds? It's not dainty. Mine is not feminine. Mine is like a guffaw. Like an old grandpa. Like, I mean, it's not something I'm going to share with you, but that's what Christmas Vacation makes me do. And then the Polar Express. All right, our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. So I'll get back to your tweets and your Facebook posts about your favorite Christmas movie. Let's talk to Paul, who's in Texas. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy, how are you this evening?
I'm good, thank you.
I'll go to Christmas movies first. You just stole my thunder on Charlie Brown Christmas, and I like Rudolph, too, with the Abominable Snowman, but anyway.
There we go. There's some real Christmas material right there.
Right, and then if you have to go to a regular movie, Christmas Story is great with the Red Ryder BB gun. But I wanted to talk to you about a little bit about the Packers and the Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy thing. I'm a Texas Green Bay fan, and I last talked to you after the playoff game between Green Bay and the Cowboys at Cowboys Stadium.
Okay.
But I think in the last few years, the inability to put pieces around Rodgers as far as a healthy O-line. And they've been working on this defense for a long time, and they've just let Ha Ha Dix go somewhere, and they let
somewhere.
Morgan Burnett go, who's great. And I mean, in the secondary now, they got Sam Shields back, after they let him go. But they're really having a tough time with, I mean, you've got Clay Matthews in there now, and Martinez is covering, you know, in the middle with a bunch of tackles this year. I think he leads the team. But, I mean, the last three of the last four seasons, hasn't Rodgers been, had two broken collarbones and then a knee the first game or second game of this season? He's been running for his life for 3 or 4 years because the pocket keeps collapsing. So I just wanted to hear your thoughts. They said on Sunday Night Football the other day that, you know, they've had Rodgers there for, what, 6, 7 years now, and he only been to one Super Bowl. What are your thoughts on – they said they thought Mike McCarthy might have wasted a lot of his career. What do you think?
He got drafted in 2005, so he's been there longer than that. I know he didn't play the first 3 years, but he's certainly been in the league longer. I feel like it's not that simple, Paul. I'm not a person that tends to go with the mob, the masses and the mob anyway, but I don't think it's that simple. I think that you're right about the offensive line. That's been an issue. They've not had a consistent run game. Maybe going back to Eddie Lacy before he got out of shape. They really have struggled to add a run game. And then think about the number of changes to their receiving core. How many guys have been injured over the last couple of years? And so they've had a lot of moving parts, a lot of transition. It's still the players who are executing on the field. And I know the buck stops with the head coach, and he often gets plagued as a scapegoat. But it's not so simple as to say it's the coach who wasted his Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, I feel like last year is a good example of this, when Rodgers was injured, that you could really see how little talent they had on other parts of the field, and the defense specifically being one area where I feel like they've been devoid of talent, not enough talent to really make them competitive. And that's on the front office, like that's on Ted Thompson. So you point out, I know he's not making these decisions anymore, but you point out to a couple of different places where they, you know, they look like they don't have as much talent and they haven't been able to compete. And I say that's a front office issue. And a lot of it is because they've got so much money wrapped up in their quarterback. You have to cut corners at other places, but they've also relied on Aaron Rodgers to compensate for the sins of the rest of the team. And it's caught up with them. So yeah, I think it's a combination of, you know, needing a fresh voice and new leadership, but the coach can only coach the guys that are actually in the locker room. He's not the one who's bringing in people. So,
telling my friends that Aaron Rodgers, for the last couple of years, Aaron Rodgers is a pretty big Band-Aid and a great one for a really mediocre team.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. They've been kind of battling mediocrity for several seasons, and when he's out, it's glaring. And he's not had a great season, Paul. Let's be honest. He's missed guys. He's throwing at guys' feet. He's made poor decisions. He's not been completely healthy. Maybe he is now, but he wasn't earlier in the season. So he was compensating too. He wasn't able to extend plays as much. I mean, I think he has told people, but he should be saying, hey, this is on me too, because I have not played this well. This is not a Hall of Fame type season from Aaron Rodgers. So a lot of the responsibility falls on him. He's the guy that's out there on third downs, and sometimes he makes the plays more complicated than they need to be. You know, there's a simple play drawn up that's supposed to work, probably would work, and he freewheels when he doesn't necessarily need to. So, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of blame to go around for sure.
Absolutely. We need to get that running game going with Jones.
Yes, consistently.
So it helps everybody else out. But,
yes.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, and have a happy holiday season.
Thanks, Paul. You too. I appreciate listening in Texas. 855-212-4227. That's our phone number. Lots of you not only sending me your favorite Christmas movies, but sending me the gifts or the pictures that go along with them, which is awesome. So on Twitter, it's our Twizzler Tuesday question. On Facebook, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Well, definitely the Green Bay Packers and the Washington Redskins are trending south. We've talked about some teams that are trending north in the NFL with a month to go. We probably could throw the Pittsburgh Steelers into that equation. I know they only lost back-to-back games. However, for them to lose the grip on what could be a bye in the AFC, that's a tough one. Steelers know all about what happens when you have to go against the New England Patriots, or in this case, think about the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium. Yowzers. You want to talk about a place that is in the full throes of the elements in December and January. Well, that's Arrowhead Stadium. I know I have stood there and had to endure while my feet were disengaged from my body. I literally could not feel my feet at halftime of a football game at Arrowhead Stadium in December one year. It was so cold. It's weird. Have you ever tried walking and not being able to feel your feet? Like they're so cold or, you know, something else going on that they're numb. It's an odd sensation. That's Arrowhead. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So that classic call of the end of the Packers-Cardinals game at Lambeau on Sunday that ultimately was the final domino falling for Mike McCarthy. But it's Wayne Larrivee and Larry McCarron. It's enough to make you sick. Yes, definitely trending southward, trending down. And then the Redskins on Monday Night Football. If you missed my conversation with Craig Hoffman, who is the Redskins insider and reporter for our D.C. affiliate, 106.7 The Fan, he joined us, and he was part of the first hour of the show from Philadelphia. And we had a really honest conversation about potential drastic moves in the offseason. What could actually be done, what Dan Snyder might do, but also about how devastating this is in the locker room. He said it feels like the season just came to an end, even though there's a month to go. This felt like the Redskins fell into a hole that was too deep for them to climb out of. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. What's your team doing right now? Trending up, trending down? I'm the fan who gets impatient. My team needs to be doing something. I'm not a big fan if it's just holding steady. I need it to be trending up. And then I get too impatient. It starts trending down. And then, of course, that bothers me too. I don't sit tight very well. So, again, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, lots of you sending me your favorite Christmas movies, hashtag Twizzler Tuesday. And then also on our Facebook page, I meant to post the picture of Sully, President Bush's dog, laying in front of his casket. I will. Pastor Smith says this on Twitter, or he sends me a link to tell me that Sully had been with President Bush only 6 months. Good. Okay, so I wasn't sure. I knew it was like late in life, but it's amazing how attached a dog can get. Just it's one of the amazing things about being a dog owner. It's hard for sure because they become family members. And they miss us or we miss them desperately, but it's still worth it. Still worth it to get a dog. As mine turns 9 or has turned 9 just recently, I think more and more about, oh gosh, she's getting older. What's going to happen when, you know, when I don't have her anymore? And then I stop myself, like, Amy, it could be years. Let's not go down that road yet. But yeah, it's hard. It's hard to think about losing a pet. In this case, though, Sully lost his man. He lost his best friend. So that picture is up, and Chris also put a video up that CBS News did on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Nate is listening in Baltimore. Hi, Nate.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Got to say a couple of things about the Ravens and the Chiefs coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I love my Ravens, but they've won 3 games in a row with a rookie, Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
But this game coming up next Sunday against the Chiefs, Lamar, was the home was named the quarterback, and the two them guys right now smoking hot, and it's going to be a tough task for the Ravens to go in there and win that game. So sometimes the Ravens get on my nerves, so I'm gonna have to have a couple of cocktails close by.
Oh, does that help? That helps. You just completely ignore the football game then?
Yeah. I know it's going to be tough for them to go to Kansas City and beat them guys. So,
yeah, it is. It is. But I like the progression. I like the way that this has worked out. And I know it's all predicated on Joe Flacco getting injured, so it's not like the Ravens planned it this way. But to have 2 games at home for their rookie starter, to let him get in there and understand the flow of the game when you're the starter, when it's your team, it's your offense, and you know that to start the day, then to go on the road into Atlanta. Now, they've got a really passionate fan base, you know, great new facility. And right. I think that was a good place for him to put his toe in the water in a road game. But now going into Arrowhead, as you point out, it's a completely different animal because they have a lot more to play for than do the Falcons. And they certainly recognize that they can't take their foot off the gas because you've got Patriots and Texans bearing down. If they would even have another slip up, they've already lost two games. If they have another slip up and there's somebody waiting to pounce for that home field advantage. And so it's a team that's certainly extremely motivated. And while I do think the Ravens defense can be physical and tough and can cause them some problems, the idea is to kind of get Pat Mahomes to turn the ball over if at all possible. You want to have takeaways. He's coming out of a game in which he had four touchdowns and no interceptions. But that's one way that the Ravens, I think, have gotten themselves back on track is takeaways, and that could be critical coming up against the Chiefs.
But what worries me is that sometimes the Ravens have problems scoring in the red zone and right now you need to fall down the field to keep up with the Kansas City Chiefs. So All I gotta say is your show and you are the best of the best. And
thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, Nate. I appreciate that. Certainly, that's where the run game comes in to play. What did we talk about with the Cowboys and the Saints last week? You know what the Cowboys did to prevent Drew Brees from hurting them as much as he normally does against other teams? Well, they don't give him the football. So they did a ball control game. They kept the football away from Drew Brees. They kept him off the field as much as possible. Well, the Ravens with the run game with Lamar Jackson, right? So he's going to have some designed carries, but also with Gus Edwards. I mean, whatever it takes, you try to keep the ball away from Pat Mahomes. You obviously want to come out for a hot start. If at all possible, you want to jump on top, come out and try to silence the crowd if you can. These are all keys to attempting to win on the road. But rookie quarterbacks giveth and they taketh away. And Lamar Jackson started slow against Atlanta. They were able to come back, but you got to be careful because if you make mistakes against the Chiefs and you do it in their house and you give them extra opportunities, they are going to burn you. Burn. It burns. 855-212-4227. That's our, phone number. And it's brought to you by Geico. It's our toll-free line, 855-212-4227. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, we're asking you about your favorite Christmas movies. And some of these, honest to God, I've never heard of. So thanks for the suggestion. Some of them I do not believe that are actually Christmas movies, and you're just trying to get me to read them on the radio. That's happened before. You guys try to pull a fast one and get me to read something that you can laugh at on the radio. It's not going to happen. If I've never heard of the movie or I think it's suspect, I'm probably going to stay away from reading it on national radio. Hey, we got another poll for you. As always, it's a Tuesday morning, so it's a TD Tuesday. And here are your touchdown of the week candidates.
It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
One man to beat 10. He's gone!
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Made a guy miss. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Center zoning into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, head to @AfterHoursCBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Washington Redskins.
Sanchez in for the injured Colt McCoy. Adrian Peterson, the running back. He gets it to AP. Through a hole, 15-20, to the 30. AP to the races, to the 50, to the 40, 30. Electrifying! AP, 90 yards for a touchdown.
Los Angeles Chargers.
Makes the first man miss at the 30. King to the 35. A hole at the 40. King veers to the right side at midfield. Got a block. King to the 40. Down the right sideline to the 30. To the 20. One man to beat at the 10. And King will walk into the end zone for the touchdown. There are no flags on the field. 72-yard punt return touchdown for Desmond King.
the Baltimore Ravens.
Matt Ryan hit and sacked on first down. Ball is loose. Ravens recover. Tavon Young takes it in. Touchdown, Ravens.
And it's a photo op celebration for the Ravens in the end zone as the Ravens defense suffocates Matt Ryan.
The Seattle Seahawks.
Seattle rushes three. Mullen throws to the middle. It's intercepted. Going the other way. He's out across the 30, the 40, midfield, down the far sidelines. Is he going to outrun everybody? He is. It's Bobby Wagner from the goal line.
How about that? Two defensive touchdowns, one special teams TD, and then the old man, Adrian Peterson, setting a new NFL record. So let's start with him, his 90-yard touchdown run on the first handoff from Mark Sanchez. Monday Night Football actually gave him more touchdown runs of at least 50 yards than any other player in NFL history. He was tied with 15 of them with the great Barry Sanders, but that was the 16th, his 90-yard run. Larry Michael with the call. Larry Michaels, excuse me, with the call on the Redskins radio network. Then Desmond King, that was a 73-yard punt return. Helped the Chargers get that spirit, get that life, get that energy. Gave him a jolt against the Steelers. And that happened right before it got really good and it got really compelling in the fourth quarter. But Kevin Kugler on the Westwood One radio network with that Desmond King punt return TD. Tavon Young, back-to-back weeks in which the defense has scored for the Baltimore Ravens. Big reason why they've now won three in a row. So another touchdown for them on a fumble return. And then finally, Bobby Wagner, Steve Rabel on the Seahawks radio network. You can vote on Twitter after hours CBS, because that's the name of the show on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.